This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of One Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On today's episode, we'll take a brief look back, and I promise it will be brief, at the disaster that was game week 29, and then we'll turn our attentions to game week 30. We'll be discussing the upcoming double game weeks on the horizon that have been announced, and how you plan for the final 9 game weeks of the season with whatever chips you have left. So, let's get into it. Okay, we can all breathe a huge sigh of relief. Game week 29 is done, dusted, and into the history books. And it will go down in history as one of the worst of all time for many FPL players. Massive blank game week, just the 4 fixtures. Burnley 2, Brentford 1, Luton 1, Forest 1, Fulham 3, Spurs 0, and West Ham 1, Aston Villa 1. Now, as you can hear from that, there wasn't really any favourites that actually delivered. Burnley winning was a surprise. Fulham winning was a surprise. The fact that Luton and Forest, there wasn't a winner between them. Neither between West Ham and Aston Villa. And a lot of the popular picks from these better sides just didn't deliver. So there was no return from Ollie Watkins for Villa. That was a Zaniolo goal and a Diaby assist. Nothing from Jared Bowen. He came close, but it was disallowed. Antonio got West Ham's goal. Absolutely no returns from any of the Spurs players that many had doubled or tripled up on for that game week. If you went with Muniz, then you will have definitely been very, very happy and will have been one of the few that would have shot up the rankings with a nice, healthy green arrow. But for the rest of us, the difference, whether it was green or red, was fairly negligible because most didn't go with Muniz. And so there was only maybe one or two people that actually delivered a return in the entire 15-man squad for most FPL managers. Very frustrating if you did use your free hit, I suppose, because ultimately you didn't get too much of an advantage over those that either have already used it or have decided to hold it back for later in the season. Those of you that have held on to your free hit, like myself, will be hoping for a pretty good upside in one of the remaining double game weeks still to come, either game week 34 or game week 37, but we'll get into that a little later in the pod. It's also just worth mentioning the disaster that was Reguilón for Brentford, a player that many were hoping not only would get a clean sheet, but potentially some attacking returns with that fixture against Burnley. But it wasn't to be. A red card and the 2 goals conceded meant that Reguilón ended up with a -3, an absolute disaster for anyone who went with him. That also mirrored the pretty poor form that Brentford have been on of late. So those who went with Ivan Toney as well will have found themselves particularly frustrated as well. All that being said, there are still 4 game weeks for us to start to tailor our sides to maximise the number of double game weekers and also the best quality double game week picks ahead of game week 34. So even if you don't have your free hit left, there's still plenty of time for you to tailor your squads to maximise that double game week while still being able to get good points in those fixtures, because it's just the way the fixtures have fallen. And we'll get onto that right now. Okay, so game week 30. The deadline is Saturday the 30th of March at 11 a.m. UK time. That's 90 minutes before the first game of game week 30. The early kickoff is Newcastle versus West Ham. Then we've got a bunch of 3 o'clock games: Bournemouth versus Everton, Chelsea versus Burnley, Forest versus Palace, Sheffield United against Fulham, and Tottenham taking on Luton. Then later in the day, we've got Aston Villa against Wolves and Brentford against Manchester United. And then the big boys on the Sunday feature. We've got Liverpool versus Brighton before a huge top of the table clash, Manchester City versus Arsenal. So lots of interesting games there, in particular, obviously, City and Arsenal. It's always a bit frustrating when you've got really good players in your team, but they're playing against one another. It always feels like you've got a real conflict of interest. And do you play them all if you've got, you know, City attackers versus Arsenal defenders? Do you want to play them all or do you want to bench the Arsenal defenders? So that will be a tricky thing to navigate for a few of us. And we'll go through that in a bit. But before we do that, let's take a look now at potential transfers to make in game week 30. And I think the best way that we can start looking at this is to examine the fixtures for some of the better teams with good FPL options across game weeks 30 to 34. And I say that because there are seven teams that will double in game week 34. And it's worth looking at their fixtures between now and then to see if we should be starting to bring them in. And I would also say that this approach really does apply whether or not you've got your wildcard left or not, whether or not you want to play it in 30 or not. Because ultimately, those teams that double, most of them have pretty good fixtures between now and that double in game week 34. In particular, if we take a look at Liverpool and Arsenal, as obviously those are the teams that are the strongest out of the seven that are doubling. I should say the seven teams that are doubling in game week 34 are Liverpool, Arsenal, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, Wolves, Everton and Sheffield United. Now, come game week 34, we're definitely going to want two or three Liverpool players and two or three Arsenal players. So with that in mind, if you're wildcarding now, it makes sense to get those players in now so you don't have to use up the transfers between now and then, just trying to get those strong doublers. If you don't have your wildcard or you don't want to play it yet, then you have to start thinking about when is the best time to bring them in. I would say this week, prioritising Liverpool assets over Arsenal assets makes sense. Liverpool are at home to Brighton and they've got Sheffield United the week after, whereas Arsenal are away at Manchester City this week. So you probably don't really want to be bringing in Arsenal players right now. If you've got Arsenal players already, then it makes sense even to bench them this week. If you're on wildcard, then I would still think it's worth having a couple of Arsenal options like a Saka, like a Gabriel. But beyond that, I wouldn't have too many because, as I say, you've got City away this week. So it's not an ideal week to have them and then bench them all. You know, I think Saka is still a very, very good option to play. But I personally wouldn't want to be playing any Arsenal defence for game week 30. So bear that in mind. Obviously, in game week 31, Arsenal face Luton. So it could be that you bench Saka, for example, against Manchester City, but you bring him back in for the Luton game. Or what's probably more likely is you're still going to play Saka because he's still a good goal threat and he's on penalties. And you just bench any Arsenal defence that you have this week and bring them back in for that game against Luton at home in 31. With Liverpool, it's slightly different. I would be really prioritising trying to get in Liverpool assets as soon as possible. Brighton, Sheffield United, the next two, both at home. An away game at Manchester United is still not that bad on paper. I think Liverpool's significantly stronger than Manchester United. Old Trafford is definitely not what it once was, and I fully expect Liverpool to go up there and get a result. And then they have Crystal Palace at home after that, before their double of Fulham and Everton. So great fixtures on paper for Liverpool. If you haven't got Salah yet, I'd be saying get him in. It's understandable that you wouldn't really want to have to do it for a minus four, but I can understand why you would. And if you are on wildcard, then it's an absolute no-brainer that you're definitely going to be bringing in Salah. I would also probably look at Darwin Nunez as well. At the moment, it looks like Darwin Nunez's first choice starting up front for Liverpool. It has been mentioned in the press conference with Jurgen Klopp that Trent Alexander-Arnold, Jota and Alisson are all not too far away from returning to training. And when those players come back, there will be some competition for minutes, particularly if we look at Jota. That could threaten some of Darwin Nunez's minutes, but I don't see a return for him in the near future. So I do think at the moment, Darwin Nunez is a fairly safe pick. The only thing actually that is worth really considering with Darwin Nunez is that he is two yellow cards away from a suspension, and he needs to avoid getting those two yellow cards in the next four matches. If he gets two in the next four, then he'll have a two-match suspension because he'll have reached the 10 yellow card threshold. So that would actually mean that if he were to get two in the next four, he would then miss that double game week. So that would be a bit of a disaster, but not completely a disaster if you've still got your free hit, because you can just find other Liverpool assets instead. Someone like a Luis Diaz could be a nice alternative. So definitely worth loading up on Liverpool players. I think defensively, I'm unsure about Conor Bradley long term. I think if you were on a wild card, you probably wouldn't bring Conor Bradley in, because the word is that Trent is not too far away from returning to training. If you've already got Conor Bradley, then there's absolutely no harm in playing him at the moment with those good fixtures, because I don't think Trent will feature in game week 30 and possibly not even in 31 either. So Conor Bradley against Brighton and Sheffield United feels pretty good. The same can be said for Kelleher in goal as well for Liverpool. If you've got him already, then they're pretty nice fixtures for you to play him. If you are on wildcard, I'm unsure about bringing him in. I think obviously he's a really, really cheap option. So if you want to use him as an enabler to afford you lots of those premium picks, then by all means go for it. But know that he will probably lose his place in the next two or three weeks once Alisson returns to fitness. But that really is only a problem if you still have your bench boost and you're looking to play it in game week 34 or 37, because you really want all of your bench players to at least be getting minutes when you hit that bench boost button. And it just feels like a bit of a waste if you've got one of your bench players. You've only got four players to gain you those extra points when you hit that button. And if one of them just isn't getting any minutes at all, then it's just a bit of a waste. That's, you know, 25% of your opportunity immediately eradicated. So bear that in mind. Always better to pick players that, even if they are on your bench, are getting some minutes. So yeah, just keep that in mind. So that's Arsenal and Liverpool between now and game week 34. It's also worth discussing a few other players that have really good fixtures between now and then that don't double in game week 34. And those two teams are Chelsea and Tottenham. Chelsea's fixtures, three out of the next four are at home. This week, Chelsea are at home to Burnley. Then they're at home to Manchester United. Then they've got an away fixture at Sheffield United, which, quite frankly, is almost as good as a home fixture against Sheffield United. For some reason, Sheffield United seem to ship more goals at home than they do away, and more goals at home than any other team in the league. Game week 33 sees Chelsea at home to Everton. So really, really nice run of fixtures ahead of a single game week in 34. And that is, to be fair, away at Arsenal. So the next four, very good for Chelsea. For Spurs, they're at home against Luton in game week 30. That's this week. And then they've got West Ham away, Forest at home and Newcastle away ahead of a blank in game week 34. So if you are in the position that you have your wild card and you still have it and you want to play it this week, and you also have your free hit, then it's definitely worth getting Chelsea and Tottenham players in on that wild card this week, because they've got great fixtures between now and game week 34. Then you use your free hit when Chelsea are against Arsenal and Tottenham blank, and you get rid of your Chelsea and your Tottenham players, and you can replace them with Liverpool and Arsenal players and a few other nice double options in that game week 34 double. So, you know, you've got, for example, Palmer, a nice cheap option at Chelsea, but you might not really want him, who is away at Arsenal in game week 34. And instead, you could replace him with someone like an Eze at a similar price point for Crystal Palace. Eze has two home games in game week 34 against West Ham and Newcastle. And me personally, I would be backing Eze to outscore Palmer in game week 34. So if you're on wildcard in game week 30, load up on Chelsea and Spurs. Then you get them back after you free hit them out in 34. And it's very likely that they will both have a double game week between 34 and 37. It could be in game week 35, it could be in game week 36. They both will almost certainly double in 37, but they are going to have two double game weeks still. So those are two teams that are definitely worth getting in now. If you already have them, fantastic. I know a lot of people will have Son. A lot of people might have another Spurs player like a Madison. It might be worth saving a little bit of money and maybe switching a Madison to a Richarlison if he's back fit. We've heard that he has been managing a slight knee issue, but has been training this week. So there is a chance that he is back in that Spurs starting lineup. He might be a slightly cheaper option to Madison that's worth considering if you want to be able to fit in some of those Liverpool and Arsenal assets that I mentioned before. With regards to Manchester City, they obviously have one double game week left, but it won't be until game week 37. So I don't think we need to start prioritising doubling or tripling up on Manchester City assets between now and then, despite them having some pretty good fixtures. Obviously, tricky fixture this week against Arsenal. Then they've got Villa at home, Palace away and Luton at home. That's Manchester City's next four. I think the only issue is, as we get towards the business end of the Champions League, and of course with the history of Pep's selections, they are notoriously difficult to predict. And I just think that beyond Haaland, I'm not too sure really it's worth risking too many Manchester City assets. I suppose perhaps maybe Foden. Although Foden is still fairly expensive at around 8.1 million. So bear that in mind, obviously. You know, they are going to double later in the season in 37. I think Manchester City are going to have a double against Fulham and Spurs. So perhaps in a few game weeks' time, we can start thinking about loading up on City assets. But I don't think there's a real priority to get Manchester City players in when there are so many great options out there for strong teams that have really good fixture runs between now and game week 34 and that double in game week 34. So that's about it from me for this episode. A bit of a stream of consciousness, but I am doing it super late on Friday night ahead of the deadline on Saturday morning. So thank you for bearing with me. I will, of course, run through my likely team ahead of game week 30 as always. I can confirm I still have my wild card and I still have my free hit. So I've decided to activate the wild card for game week 30. I've hit the button. I've already made quite a few transfers. I will almost certainly be making a few more tweaks ahead of the deadline. But as it stands at the moment, I have gone for Chelsea keeper Petrovic in goal, who have Burnley at home. Then a back three of Udogie at home to Luton, Lascelles at home to West Ham, and Gusto at home to Burnley. Lascelles is in because he is already in my squad and I've decided to keep him because of the Botman injury. He's been confirmed out for the next 6 to 9 months. And the last time he was out injured for a sustained period of time for Newcastle, the sales just came straight in at centre-back. I know a few people have been slightly concerned that potentially Dan Byrne could move there and then they would play Livramento at left-back, but I don't think that's likely to happen. Dan Byrne has played about 45 minutes of football at centre-back for Newcastle this season. He's predominantly a left-back for them, and when Botman was out before, it was Lascelles who came in. So all of a sudden, the 3.9 million centre-back at Newcastle is a bit of a gift. Thankfully, I didn't even have to sell him. I already had him in my squad, so he slots in at home against West Ham this week. And that is because I'm benching Gabriel. I didn't want to sell Gabriel despite being on the wild card, just because Arsenal do have some good fixtures between now and that double. I just don't think he's going to keep a clean sheet in game week 30 away at Manchester City. So he's on my bench. And then the other defender that I've brought in is Ryan Aitnori. Now, that still could change. I could go with someone else, but I do quite like the idea of a very, very attacking fullback who offers some potential attacking returns. Wolves also are one of the teams that double in game week 34. And the fixtures aren't too bad. They are away against Villa this week, so he will be on my bench for this week. But then before that double in 34, Wolves face Burnley, West Ham and Forest. So not too bad. The double is against Arsenal and Bournemouth, both at home. So I do quite like that fixture run. And Aitnori does get forward. The stats are pretty good for him. He's very, very attack-minded for a like a wing-back. So, yeah, so that's my five defenders in my squad. I've actually kept Dubravka for the time being. He's on my bench. Petrovic has come in for Areola, and he will start just because of that home fixture against Burnley in game week 30. Midfielders. Palmer is in for the great fixtures, and obviously 30, he's got Burnley at home. Anthony Gordon is also in. Really good run of fixtures for Newcastle between now and the end of the season. So Anthony Gordon also gets the nod. He is someone, obviously, he's not going to double until game week 37, I don't think, but I do quite like Gordon. Salah is in and will be my captain for this week. Son stays. He's got Luton at home. And at the moment, I'm keeping Saka. Now, I may change that. And I might go for another player like Richarlison if I get the impression that he's going to start for Spurs. Or I may even go with a cheaper option like Garnacho at Manchester United. And that would afford me some funds to upgrade one of my three forwards, which I'll come to now. So at the moment, I've still got Haaland. I'm also keeping Solanke, and I've got Muniz. Now, at the moment, I've got Muniz in because he enables me to keep Saka. If, however, I decide that I can do without Saka between now and the double, and then just bring Saka and the other Arsenal assets in on that free hit that I'm planning on using in game week 34, I could potentially downgrade him to someone cheaper, and then I could upgrade Muniz to someone better, like a Darwin Nunez, who has great fixtures and doubles. The only thing that is stopping me from doing it is that Muniz has Sheffield United away this week, which is a really, really good fixture. Fulham are in pretty good form at the moment, and Muniz obviously just scored two against Spurs. So it just doesn't feel very good about selling a forward who's just scored a brace and has Sheffield United next. So perhaps that's a transfer I make slightly later down the line. And it means that I don't really need to sell Saka. I can just see how he gets on, how fit he is. I know he's been yellow flagged as a slight concern for fitness ahead of that Manchester City game. I've got absolutely no doubts in my mind whatsoever that Saka will be fit and will start in that game. I can't see anyone else starting on that right side for Arsenal in such a huge match. But there is the potential for me to downgrade Saka and then upgrade Muniz between now and game week 34 and it not be an issue for when I want to bring in those doublers from the big teams in game week 34. So that's what my team looks like at the moment. Salah will definitely be my captain. If you can't afford to go for Salah this week, then Son is definitely the standout captaincy choice, I think. Spurs at home to Luton. They concede lots and lots of goals. Spurs, obviously, off the back of a pretty disappointing result against Fulham, but they did still create chances. Spurs, that's the first game in a year that Spurs haven't scored a goal. An incredible run of goal-scoring form that Spurs actually have been on. So I fully expect them to get back to goal-scoring ways. So, Son would be a great captaincy shout as well. Outside of that, then I would say Cole Palmer, if you have him or are bringing him in this week. Chelsea at home against Burnley. That's a really viable option for captaincy as well. But I do think that the best captaincy option for game week 30, if you can get him in, is Mo Salah. That's it then for this episode. A reminder once again that the deadline for game week 30 is Saturday the 30th of March at 11 a.m. UK time. Don't miss it. Best of luck to everyone chasing a green arrow, and I'll talk to you again soon.